Welcome to Visible by Numbers with your host, Allison Bachman.
Hello and welcome to Visible by Numbers on beautiful BBS Radio. And speaking of BBS Radio, this is an amazing place where literally hundreds of shows are broadcast weekly on every subject imaginable that feeds your soul. It's an incredible gathering of people led by the vision and the passion of Don and Doug, and hats off to them and all the people that make BBS Radio possible. And I hope that as long as you're here, you spend some time on the website and check out all the fantastic programming that BBS has to offer. This is your host, Allison Bachman, and I'm happy you decided to join me this evening. I hope you all are doing well. It is sunny and warm here in PA today, and it really did lift my spirits, and I hope your day, wherever you are in the world, went as well. And I have a wonderful person as my guest this evening. I had the pleasure of a very long conversation with him a few weeks back, and I got to tell you that I loved him instantly. My guest is Chuck Bergman. Now, Chuck is a third-generation psychic medium, and he's had the ability to communicate with those that have passed on since a very early age. He has spent many years developing his abilities and fine-tuning his gift. He's actually a retired police officer, which I really find fascinating, given that I would imagine that police officers would be more the skeptical types. And he's been doing readings for over 20 years. He's quite well known for his ability to bring through evidence and to help validate his connection to spirit. I tell you what, he told me about some of his experiences in our conversation, and I got to tell you, I was like, very impressed with some of the readings that he's done. He's also one of the very few mediums that are on the recommended readers page on the James Von Prague website. So, without further ado, I give you Chuck Bergman. Chuck, how are you this evening?
Oh, Allison, I've been looking forward to tonight. I think we've had more fun off the air than we're going to have on the air tonight. I mean, it seems like every time I hook up with you, we have a lot in common and a lot to talk about.
Well, you know, it's really nice that you have the gift to be a medium. That's a wonderful gift. But being charming is a gift as well, and I think you're gifted in that area.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Well, listen, I've got some questions to ask you. Of course, I'm going to grill you. You know that, right?
I'm ready.
You're ready. Okay, good. Well, okay, so let's talk about this third generation medium thing. I mean, I got to tell you, that's got to be fun at family reunions. So who else in your family has this ability?
Well, it started with my grandmother, who was from Cardiff, Wales, which is where my mom grew up. And for a little bit on the downer side, my mother had a sister in England who many years ago was a very, very good medium when being a medium wasn't very popular. And unfortunately, she ended up in an insane asylum.
Oh, dear.
Well, this put a large damper on the way my mother perceived her abilities. And then as my mom had six children, it was rather obvious that I was the one seeing spirits at a very young age. My mom didn't want me to end up like her sister, so you can imagine you're visualizing it being, you know, a nice open family event, but it was actually very subdued, very hidden, and I was pretty much told not to do it.
Really?
When I was much younger.
Right. I think I was reading an article somewhere. I think it was one of the print articles that were on your website. And you actually sensed the presence of spirit in your room as a child. Did you see them or feel them, or how did that go for you?
Well, what happened was, I think small things had happened to me as I was probably around the age of five. But the one that really opened the door at the age of probably, I just turned six, my grandmother had come over from England for a stay with us, and her very first night arriving, mom and dad saw the opportunity, you know, having six children, like, we can get out of here for the night. We finally got a babysitter. So they took off for the night, and our lovely grandmother decided to, you know, she was watching us. And I woke up, like a lot of kids do, screaming that I saw people standing around my bed looking at me.
Oh, wow.
Which were obviously spirits and, you know, frightening me because I didn't know what they wanted or who they were.
Right.
And my grandmother, knowing about the gift,
mm-hmm.
Took me into the living room, sat me down, talked to me. And I remember her very carefully asking me what each one of the people looked like and how many, and she knew every person that I described.
Really?
From England. You know, these would certainly be people I'd have no way of mm-hmm. of knowing who they were. And
mm-hmm.
I guess the only way to word this is apparently they came over with my grandmother.
Yeah, I was going to say she brought company,
she
right?
She brought company, and I, you know, I welcome things like that now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I imagine that. I really, you know, the one of the things that I find, you know, you were talking about your one relative, her sister, that actually was committed for, you know,
yeah.
having a gift. And, you know, when I do numerology readings for people, and, of course, these gifts that people have are actually written into the numbers, and I feel sometimes a great sense of relief when I share that information with my clients because they go, thank God I'm not crazy.
Yes,
you
yes.
know, thank God that's what it is. And it's much more normal than people would think, maybe not perhaps to the extent that you can do it, but certainly our connection to the spiritual realm is a normal thing. And it's kind of sad back in the times when this was really frowned upon or people were called crazy for doing it.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. I mean, a police officer for 32 years, correct?
Yeah.
Now, that was in Salem, Massachusetts?
Yeah, that's got a little bit of a ring to it, doesn't it?
Isn't that a little bit... I mean, didn't something else happen there, maybe?
Well, the funny thing is, the witch trials, as we all know, happened in Salem, Massachusetts.
Do you ever wonder why
that.
You got...
No, I was actually born here in Florida.
Uh-huh.
And the military... when I was in the military, I ended up in the Boston area,
uh-huh.
and when I got released from the military,
mm-hmm.
I ended up staying in Salem,
mm-hmm.
which is where I became the police officer for 32 years.
Uh-huh.
But the I think all the witchcraft and things that Salem is noted for, it may have opened the door for me that it made me, as a police officer, I would look at people that were into Wiccan and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I really didn't know enough about it, but I respected that. I saw those people as they were happy in what they were doing.
Sure.
So I left, you know, it was what it was. And I have, you know, I've never studied it, but I've only heard good from it.
I just find it so ironic that that's where you were a police officer for 33 years. I was like, all the places in this world, you know, you could have landed. It was Salem, Massachusetts.
And I got to tell you, I don't know if that was planned by spirit or who.
Maybe you were revisiting that from a past life. Who
I'm
knows?
Wondering. I often wonder, like, why right. there of all places?
Right. So you're a police officer, and during this time, I'm assuming that you probably were aware that you had some gifts, but you weren't really pursuing them. You were being a police officer, correct?
That's absolutely correct,
right.
yes.
But... now, when you retired, you decided to work with your gift and develop your gift and begin using your gift. Now, I got a big question because, I mean, how did the other police officers, did anybody react when they found out this is what you were doing after retirement?
Well, I was actually doing readings, including many police officers had come to my house
uh-huh.
secretly
uh-huh.
to have readings.
I see.
A couple had lost children, very tragic.
Sure.
Losses at that, and others would have issue with a parent that may have passed away or something.
Mm-hmm.
But as the word got out, I think they were more comfortable coming to me as someone they knew, someone they worked with, someone
sure.
they could trust.
Right.
And they knew I wouldn't be giving their name out to anyone else or
sure.
or making it public, you know, that they'd actually come to me for a reading.
Oh.
And I have to admit, if there are any police officers listening now, you know that if someone on your department claim to have these abilities, you might go just to watch the show and then you could spill the beans later and laugh at the person and start the funny jokes, which is kind of what I expected.
Right, right.
But usually I have to admit, I would give the reading and then I would walk away in awe saying, wow, that was a powerful reading.
Right.
So,
well, you've had quite a few powerful readings from what you told me. Now that you are a medium, do you help with police investigations or have you helped solve crimes?
I've recovered three separate bodies since I've been retired. One is posted on my website, and I'll just briefly say how that was unusual.
Sure, go ahead.
I was given map coordinates and distance for a body out in California, and I'm down in Florida on the telephone giving the reading. So I still have a hard time with that one. Not a hard time with it, but I think that was the straw that broke the camel's back. Once that happened to me, it's like I don't question the ability of spirit ever again. If they give me something, I know to trust it, and I know it's for real.
Right. That was a rather profound, all that information that you got to solve that crime. And I do encourage everyone, you have a website, chuckbergman.com, right?
Yes, I do.
And they can actually read that in detail from your website. And you want to spell out your name just in it?
Sure, it's... Well, we know Chuck, and it's B.
Chuck, that's a hard one. Okay.
Okay.
Just do the Bergman, because.
Sure, B E R G M A N,
right?
And no space in there; it's all one word.
Right, right. So that one was really quite the,
That was. I would say that one and the lottery story that I shared with you.
You want to share that again?
We could do that real quickly.
Sure, go ahead.
And I'm sure the person, if they heard that we talked about it, would only be proud. But I had a lady I was giving a group reading at one point. This is before I retired. And the woman's mother came through when it was her turn to, you know, have her reading. And I looked at the woman and I said, you know, your mom is coming through and she's showing me a lottery machine. And the lottery machine is spitting out money. And she's pointing to you. Mom is pointing to you and saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. What is this all about? So then she says, a week before her mom passed away, she entered her mother's room at the nursing home, and when she looked at the digits over the door, for some reason she felt that there was a message there that she had to play those numbers.
Oh.
So she played the numbers on her way home that evening, and she won
$10,000. Thanks, Mom.
I know.
I know.
Well, this is why Mom is saying thank you, because what happened was Mom died later in the week, and the daughter took her winning money and called her sisters and brothers and said, you know, Mom deserves to go out in a Cadillac, and I'm paying for it.
Oh,
so she spent
awesome.
All the money on Mom. But that's why the message was, thank you, thank you,
wow.
thank you. And then, you know, talking about the lottery number.
Sure.
But the intriguing part of the story was at the very end of it, you know, I'd given her probably 20 or 34 minutes worth of information.
Uh-huh.
Her mom says, make sure you play those numbers tomorrow because they're coming in tomorrow.
Oh, no.
And you can win your money back. And true story, the numbers came in exact the next day.
Wow.
So see, again, I do trust spirit. I do trust the messages.
True. Oh, yeah.
I keep getting hit with, I don't even know how to word it. It's like I have to learn to not only trust it, I think no matter what they give me, I'm at a point where I will trust it.
Right, right, right. And you know, one of the major things, I think, you know, you're gifted, you're a medium, you have this ability, you are very concerned about giving evidence, making sure that what it is you tell somebody, it isn't just some generic something or other, but it's something quite specific.
True.
That can be related to perhaps a passed-on loved one. And I think that that's really important to you. I can tell that from what I've read about you. And just interestingly enough, you know, even in your numbers, you would be the kind of person that would be a skeptic and that would really want the evidence. You want to prove that this is possible, and the best way to prove it is coming out with that information that can't be disputed. And I actually know another medium. She was actually on our show, and she was really strong about the evidence, you know, that it has to be evidential readings, that it really got to come out with some serious information that's very validating. And that has to do with that big old seven you got sitting in your chart.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that fascinating. When I read that energy in your site, in how you're putting your words, it really is the words of a seven. So I, as a numerologist, I'm just a little throwing that in there saying I find that fascinating.
I can't tell you how happy I was for several days after you gave me the reading with numerology. And I'm very new to that, the numerology part of all this, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm open to it. I'm willing to listen. And there were many, many things you hit on that were so right on the money, so mm-hmm. accurate. I was very, very impressed.
Well, thank you, dear. I appreciate it. I'll send you that $5 in the mail, okay?
Okay.
I'd be happy to. Now, let's talk about motivation because, okay, we have this gift. It doesn't mean you got to put yourself out there, okay? And you've put yourself out there and you're out there doing the work. And so I think a really important question to ask someone such as yourself is, what is your motivation for doing what you do?
I'd have to say it's helping people. It truly is. Mm-hmm. I just did a couple shows in, Pennsylvania, near you.
Sure.
Not far from you with, I may as well say your name, Susan Duvall.
We love her, Susan Duvall.
She's wonderful. Yeah. Susan Duvall Seminars.
.com.
she was great. Anyway, I've hooked up with her twice now where I've been up in your area doing readings. Mm-hmm. The amazing part is the people that we meet that are on this level, that understand this stuff, mm-hmm. and then to bring them peace by bringing messages from mom, dad, sister, brother, husband,
sure.
whoever, child.
Right.
There's nothing like it. It's a gift that it's emotional. It's just wonderful. It's rare that I have a disappointing session, to be honest with you. It's
mm-hmm.
very rare.
But the motivation is there. It's all for the right reasons, to be helpful and to help to heal people. I mean, I know myself, you know, I've often said, I've actually worked with people that have lost loved ones and whatever, and I've often said that I feel inept and inadequate in trying to do any counseling along those lines, because really and truly, in my life, I've been very blessed, and my parents are still alive, all my siblings. I've never lost anyone, you know, that I was so incredibly close to. I mean, grandparents, they reach a certain age, and it's just a way of life. But, you know, just recently I lost my one of my dearest friends that was a puppy. It was a dog. It was my baby. And the amount of grief that I felt in just that week over losing my baby, even though he was a dog, he was my best friend. And it helped me to realize the tremendous amount of grief that people have when they lose their loved ones, and how incredibly healing it has to be to get that reassurance that that loved one is happy and well. And so that's really great work that you do. And so I guess that's going to be my next question. One of the things that I did want to ask you is, from all these readings that you've done, I mean, have you learned anything about the afterlife, or from speaking to the people that have crossed over? I mean, has it given you a perception of what the afterlife is like? And also, as long as we're on the subject, have you seen any dogs over there? I mean, do dogs go to heaven too? I need to know that personally right now.
I've given many, many, many readings where pets will come through, dogs, cats.
Thank you.
In fact, this is one that, you know, I'll do readings sometimes out of my home, you know, by appointment. Mm-hmm. And I remember not too long ago I had a woman come up from Miami, Florida, which is an eight-hour drive.
Mm-hmm.
And when we sat down, she opened her pocketbook and she said, you know, when I asked her who she'd like to contact, she pulled out a picture of her cat. She said, my cat died in 1990.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to visualize myself sitting there giving this lady a reading for, you know, a full hour and talk about a cat that passed away, you know, in 1990. I could use some choice words now, but that little rascal came through perfectly.
Oh, yeah?
I had a great time. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, wonderful.
From the very first validation right on through the reading. And I was, my first impulse was to just call it off and send her home, you know, which I certainly didn't want to do that. But,
sure.
you know, it happened. It happened, and it was wonderful.
So you've learned that there are
I've learned that, but I've had many other readings where unexpectedly pets will come through with either their pet name. In fact, I recall when I was in Pennsylvania recently, I pointed to a gentleman and I said, I just heard the word Snowball. I said, do you have a pet named Snowball? And he said, yes. My dog just died a week or so ago, and his name was Snowball.
Yeah.
They're over there, and they love to come through, and they love to let us know that they're okay.
Right.
And by the way, if you even get a message like that, that, you know, I'm getting the dog, or describe the dog, or cat, or bird, whatever it is,
uh-huh.
there's associated messages with that automatically, that there's love and thanks
mm-hmm.
for all the good things you did for them when you mm-hmm. when they were alive.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's wonderful. And so you not only get this for animals, but certainly you kind of get the feel of what it's like for those that have crossed over in the afterlife. Do you get a sense of what this is like there?
I do, and it's, if you want to compare it to our dream state at night when we're dreaming and things seem pretty good,
uh-huh.
if you can, heaven to me, from what I've witnessed from not only spirits I've talked to, but during very intense meditations I've done where I know I've traveled up there.
Right.
I would say that's the HD form or high definition form of a dream.
Right.
Because the colors are much more vivid, the smells, the temperature, everything about it is just absolute perfect.
Uh-huh.
Even the music. I've heard the music that they hear, and it's the stuff we hear on these big amplifiers and speakers don't even come close.
Wow, that's great news. That's nice to know.
But I think meditation, many people have witnessed what I've witnessed, you know, just in doing this. It seems
sure.
like...
I think they call it, well, yeah, music from heaven, angelic
yeah.
music, yes. I had that happen to me one time. I actually went around the house trying to find the source of the music. I was not in a meditation. I was just, I had this thing going off in my head, and I couldn't figure out where it was coming from. And finally, I just quit trying and just laid down and enjoyed it and just, you know, sat there and listened to the music. So.
Yeah, spirit is,
it was a long
when they
time
want to contact you, they'll find many, many ways to do it.
Sure, sure. Well, let's move on here. You and I both share a mutual admiration and certainly a great deal of respect for James von Prague. And, you know, I mentioned at the introduction that you're on his recommended readers page, and that is quite an achievement. So, because not many people, I don't think, get there. I think James is quite particular about that. And I also understand that he mentored you to a certain extent. He recognized your abilities. Did you want to share a little bit about that, Chuck?
Sure, we could. This would go back to the first book he wrote. I believe it was his first,
Talking to Heaven. Yeah.
Yeah, and
yeah.
What happened was he was in the Salem area at a book signing. He was
uh-huh.
actually in the next city over. Uh-huh. And it was a strange story, but one of the female officers I work with, her dad had passed away.
Uh-huh.
She read the book and found it a little frightening. She was afraid of it.
Huh.
Anyway, she brought it into my office and said, "This is right up your alley." She said, "I think you'll like this."
Uh-huh.
So I read the book, and I no sooner finished it, I'd say the day I finished it, James is in the next town over doing
uh-huh.
a book signing.
Uh-huh.
So I went to the book signing, and when James was signing my book, he looked up and said, "Wow, I don't know who you are, but my spirit guides are telling me that you can do this as well as I do it. Can I have your name, and I want to give you a website to go to?" And I was very good with computers at the time, so I went to a chat room that he had opened up.
Uh-huh.
And I think within 4 or 5 days, he ended up giving me a reading in the chat room
uh-huh.
as sort of a welcome. But the amazing part was, as James von Prague, Mr., you know, there's no doubt where he sits, you know, in that
yes.
realm.
Yeah.
He started giving me the reading. Everything was supposed to be my dad, but none of it fit. None of it made any sense at all.
Uh-huh.
And as it luck would have it, I wrote every word down, had it all on a legal pad.
Right.
The next morning, the female officer that had given me the book in the first place, the information was about her father.
Oh.
James had the birth date, where her dad was found, had everything exact.
Wow.
It was really intriguing.
Right.
So naturally I got a hold of James and told him that
sure.
it was a good reading.
Right.
We just wasn't my dad, it was someone else's dad. So, but that will happen. I do that during group sessions sometimes where
right.
No one in the room can take a piece of information or a reading that I'm doing.
Sure.
And then when they get home from the reading, they'll find out that they're, you know, someone they didn't know about had just passed away.
Sure.
They were coming through during the group session.
Sure.
So these things happen. You know,
sure, well.
They happen a lot.
Well, I know that he recognized your ability right off the bat. And I got to say, he's got an absolutely fabulous website, and anyone that is grieving a loved one or anyone who is looking for some spiritual enlightenment, certainly that is a wonderful learning experience to go to James's website, and that's vonprague.com. And just real quick, do you do the same thing? Because he obviously instantly recognized that you had ability. Do you see that sometimes when you meet someone?
On occasion, I do. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
I'll be reading people during a reading. It'll come out.
Sure.
And spirit will let me know that this person can do it. And I think some people need to hear that. They
mm-hmm.
need the approval.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and approval is something we all, you know, it goes back to childhood, especially
right.
when you hit teenager. You always want to please mom and dad. You want
mm-hmm.
them on your side. So we're always trying to please people with our actions. And when you fall into something like this, you really have to take the bull by the horns and run with it. Just
sure.
do it.
Sure. Well, listen, Chuck, I think we've kept everybody at bay for a while, but I think it's time that maybe we open up our lines. I'm sure that some people out there may have some questions, or they might want to see if you can make a connection for their loved ones.
All right.
And I'm sure, you know, there's a lot of people out there. So, everybody, we're getting ready to open up the lines. You're listening to Station 1 on BBS Radio. My guest this evening is Chuck Bergman. He's a wonderful medium. And we will be taking your calls. So I'm going to give you the numbers. The toll-free numbers are USA 877-876-5227. You're calling from Canada. You can call in at 1-888-815-9756. And you can certainly call the station direct at 530-876-3222. And remember, if you're calling in, turn down your speakers or step into the other room, get away from your computer and speak up to us so that we can hear you. And I hope that the guys in the control room heard us so that they open up the lines, Chuck. But in the meantime, I just wanted to ask you a few more things. So maybe, well, no, I'll ask you in between these calls, I guess. Hi, who's calling, please?
Hi, how are you? Hi, Chuck.
Hello.
Thanks for taking my call. I am a psychic, actually, right in the middle of looking for a missing teen. And I was wondering if you have any tips on, because the law enforcement in my area, obviously, they don't want to deal with me. And I have a couple of different leads for them to go on, and they're not taking me seriously at all. And I've, you know, consulted with a whole bunch of psychic friends, if you will. And, you know, I'm the one who's making all the calls, and I keep asking to speak with different detectives, and I found one detective who was willing to take me seriously. Unfortunately, he's off for the next couple of days. And I was just wondering if you could either point me in a direction or maybe...
Did you get that question, Chuck?
Yeah, her audio is pretty low. I think I've got the gist of it.
Okay.
I'll try and answer that,
sure,
though.
Go ahead.
First of all, how are you receiving the information? Is it simply coming to you in meditation, or is it,
no,
or is it unsolicited?
Psychic.
Is it just happening during the day?
No, I've been a psychic. I'm, you know, I do regular readings. I'm a psychic and a medium. I pretty much kind of, you know, opened myself up to get information on this person who's missing. He's 17 years old. It was given to me by another person who is also psychic. She's not a medium, though. She's just a psychic. And then given, you know, the nature of this, I kind of opened up to any of my friends who are gifted in any which way possible.
So you're just trying to figure out how to get a detective to take the information that you've received seriously?
Well, because nothing else is happening. I mean, I met with the kid's parents on Thursday, and I called them, and I said, look, I'm putting myself out here. I want nothing from you whatsoever. Just a little bit of your time. And I spent 2 hours in his home. I went in his room. It was, you know, really hard to do. And, you know, the police here, you know, I've gone to headquarters pretty much, you know, and they're basically like, well, whatever, missing kid, no big deal.
Okay, can I just have your first name?
Yeah, it's Kay.
Kate?
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Kate. First of all, it's a very hard thing to be able to help the police. If this will make you feel any better, even after I've recovered bodies and I wore the uniform for 32 years, when I retired 4 years ago, moved to Florida, there was a case where I kind of stumbled upon information for it and tried helping out the local police department. The case had even made John Walsh's America's Most Wanted.
Right.
And when I called within a week and a half and had them check out my website and I talked to the right people and everything, they basically said that it wasn't economical for them to use me, and yet I was willing to do it for free.
Right.
And so I'm just letting you know what you're experiencing. You're going to find that around the country.
Okay.
In fact, I was just reading in the paper, I forget where it was, I think it was in Australia, where a police officer or a lieutenant or someone did take information from a psychic on a murder case, and he was fired over it.
Right. Well, that's pretty much, I did find one detective in the team who was willing to take bits and pieces of information. And I said, look, I'm not looking to be known. I'm not looking for notoriety. I'm not looking for anything other than to find this kid and bring him back one way or another. And I spent, you know, 2 hours with his parents the other night, and it was...
If I might interject here, Kay, that you've done the all that you can do. You've
mm-hmm.
put it out there, and what will happen will happen. If it's meant to be, it'll happen. And, you know, at least you followed your conscience or your own motivations for doing what you did. And I would just have to assume, you know, what Chuck said, that, you know, not everyone is receptive to it. And
they do work on fact. You know, when they go to court with a case, they do have to have fact. They can't really go in front of a judge and say, you know, we want to put a person away for committing a crime.
Because the psychic said so.
And, you know, we're basing it on the word of a psychic. You have
right.
To,
well,
they
this
have
is
to
a minor. I mean, this kid is 17 years old, and he's now missing 4 weeks.
Right.
And, you know, I don't, you know, really even feel that there's going to be a positive outcome in this return.
And, Kay, what you're probably going to find, too, is the parents have probably gone to the detectives and told them about your visit and may have been, you know, guided.
No, they didn't.
In the
no, actually, they haven't.
Too.
I only met with them on Thursday.
Right.
And, you know, even they feel like the detective is not taking them seriously.
Right.
So, I mean, the whole thing is a mess. And, I, you know, everybody that I've kind of asked that, you know, does the same type of work that I do, they all kind of feel that he's gone already, that no, he is not alive.
Right. Well, listen, Kay, listen, I think that pretty much, you know, Chuck answered the question, and I really wish you well on that and, you know, keeping up the good work and everything. But I don't think you do have anything to add to answer her question, or pretty much that's it, Chuck.
The only thing is do what you're doing, and you can't force this on people, though. The more you
right.
force it, the more they resist.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, so good luck. Good
All
luck.
All right, thank
Kay.
You.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye.
And that, Allison, that is a valid... a valid statement from Kate that, you know, there are many psychics, many mediums out there who could help,
mm-hmm.
and if they're not willing to listen, then there's nothing you can do.
There's nothing you can do.
And I have had it work in reverse where families get tired of not getting help, and then they come to the psychic or the medium, but it's too late.
Right.
You may
right.
recover the body, but, you know, things could have been prevented had they at least... you know, worked with you. I know in Salem, Massachusetts, we were talking about it. They had a policy they would listen to anyone.
Uh-huh.
And if we could get leads from or information from anyone at all,
sure.
they would take the information and act on
well,
it.
Well, I'm absolutely sure that she's you know, has a good heart, and she genuinely wants to help, and she's certainly made the effort to do so. And but like you say, when there's resistance there, there's really... Other than doing what she's done, there's really nothing else that she can do. And God bless her for putting herself out there and trying. So good luck to you, Kay, wherever, you know, if you're listening. Good luck and God bless. We have another caller. Who's calling, please?
Yes, good evening. This is Bridget.
Bridget, I'm sorry, dear, but you're just going to have to speak up a whole lot louder because we can barely hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Well, try yelling.
Okay. How about now?
That's better. Okay. We can hear you. Do you have a question or something for Chuck?
Yes. Actually, I have some grandparents, two grandparents and my father who have passed over. And I was just wondering if you can tell me, you know, how they are or how they're doing. Or
okay.
I could give you the standard reply. If they're in heaven, they're doing better than us. They really are happy over there. Bridget, as soon as you started speaking, I was seeing a symbol of white baby shoes. Any clue why that symbol would be shown to me?
No, sir. I sure don't.
Well, could you please think about that for a moment? Do you have a young infant around you?
No, I don't.
Okay, there's got to be a reason why baby shoes, and they're the little white ones. Remember years ago that hang those from the mirror and that preserve the white baby shoes? I don't know if they still do that. Now, one more thought, though, Bridget. Sometimes I get a little more information once I start talking. Have you purchased white shoes lately, like white sneakers?
No, I can't say I have.
Okay, I know I'm seeing that, so there's got to be a reason for that. And I feel it's grandmother that wants to come in stronger than grandfather for you. Would you expect that to happen?
Yes.
Okay, because she just seems like she's trying very, very hard. And she's still doing that with baby shoes, and she won't stop. Is there any chance that you had those kind of white baby shoes and maybe grandmother had those or liked those? Or?
You know, I really couldn't say. I don't remember the white baby shoes at all.
Okay, Bridget. I just know how my thing works, and I haven't used that term in probably 7 or 8 years, as far as I can recall. White baby shoes, I'm still getting it. You know what happened, too, is many times people will get a reading from me, and then I get the email a couple of days later that it does hit home.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a brother?
Yes, I do.
Okay, I'm just getting a reference to the mail next to you from grandmother, but I'm not getting enough to... But I'm getting a wrinkle in his schooling. Is there something wrong with your brother's schooling? Did he either discontinue it or...
No, he graduated. He's got his degree.
Okay, there's got to be a change. There's something he did where he changed. He's talking about his schooling. This would be on the idea of, like, he wanted to become a dentist, but he turned into something else.
Ah, okay.
Did that happen with him?
No.
I'm getting
not that
a wrinkle is the word that Grandma's using with it. Oh, she's doing a couple of symbols that I don't understand yet. Is she not from this country?
She's from France.
Okay. Now I understand why I'm having a little bit of a... She's using symbols that I'm having a hard time with right now. If I had you here in person, it would be easier to mimic the movement. And she's twirling something on a string, and I don't know what that's supposed to be. I almost feel like this is a necklace that she's trying to get my attention with. But because I'm not seeing it, what she's doing is twisting it and twirling it. She's twirling it. So I feel like this is a necklace that would have either multiple little things on it, or there's a reason why she's spinning it. Can you make anything of that?
Well, I am wearing her necklace.
Okay. And it could be that she's just really trying hard to get me to say the word necklace. Now, your name is Bridget. Who's got the huge A name?
The A name?
A, the letter A, first letter of the alphabet.
Their last name was Artaud.
Okay, that's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm getting that, but did she have rather small hands? Does that make sense to you?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. Because I'm seeing her hands, and they're very tiny. They're very small, very delicate, small hands for a woman. She's talking about... I'm going to have to word it this way, Bridget. When some people pass over, like when it was your grandmother's time to go, sometimes we look at things and we say, well, you know, she has lived quite a long life, and we kind of expect it, time to go. I'm not expecting your grandmother to go. Why is that? Either she went at an early age or something came on very quickly. I don't feel like she should have passed away from whatever this is that she passes away from.
She passed away in the hospital.
Yeah, I'm feeling there's something here. I feel like she should have been here. I hate to use the term longer because we'd all like to stay longer. But for her, I really want to say that. I felt like it was either unexpected or like I'm feeling a gap there. Like there's some reason why untimely is the word I'm hearing with her.
Hmm.
She's showing me a television. Why is someone a television personality? Is someone on television?
No, sir.
I'm still getting this, so I want to work with it for a moment. Now, she was here in America for a while, wasn't she?
No, sir. She came to visit for a couple weeks, but that was it.
Okay, but even that I want. Do you have video of her?
We do have her on some videos.
It's the video, and it's the TV. And someone must watch that because I'm seeing what would represent like an older television. Remember before we had the tube model sitting on the floor and all that? I feel like I want to go back quite a ways with this, but I feel like there are videos of her in this country, and you can watch her on television.
Ah.
Well, actually, it couldn't be too far back. I mean, you know, videotape, even though it's obsolete now, it really could go back about 10, 15 years ago, I guess. Let's see if she's got any more. I know I want to keep them quick so we can get other people in. Now, your question was, how's she doing? I want to just ask her what she's doing over there. She likes mountainous areas for some reason. She likes the view. She's talking about the view. So I don't know where would she be where she would be high up, like a mountain, and have a nice view?
Oh, wow, I don't know.
Okay, because I'm getting her up high, and she's showing me mountain. Has she ever been to Sicily?
Not that I know of.
Well, it's going to be an area very similar to that, but I got to tell you, she's. I don't think she would like a downtown area. It's like I want to take her away from busy areas and put her in quiet areas.
Right.
And I feel like this is what she's doing the most, like mountainous, quiet, up high, enjoying the view, enjoying nature, enjoying everything. And I don't want to say totally alone, but she likes her quiet time.
Right.
I'm just not getting her as being around a lot of busy traffic or busy stuff going on.
Wow.
I got to ask you, too, do you have money because of her?
Our family, yes.
Okay, because I'm seeing money being folded and put in your pocket.
Oh, well, she used to do that to me all the time when I would visit her. She would fold up some money and give it to me or put it in my pocket.
Oh, sweet, because she's showing that. She's leaving you with a big hug and bright red lipstick kiss, she calls it. So
oh,
I don't know
okay.
if she wore the red lipstick, but that's what... It's like I can't miss these lips. She's giving a huge goodbye kiss. So, and we do have to keep it somewhat short and sweet.
Right.
So we can get a couple of people in.
Well, thank you for calling in.
Well, thank you so much.
You're
okay,
welcome.
You have a good evening.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
That was a great reading, Jack.
That was
really great. Putting money in the pocket.
I actually saw it folded over and slipped in. So.
Wow. Nice
and I love
grandma.
It when they're visual with me because it really does help. Now, in that case, I don't think she spoke English, and that's why she had to rely on
symbolism,
pictures. Yeah, symbols, pictures, whatever
yeah.
she could do.
Right. Now you do private readings, right?
Yes, I do.
And people can do them over the telephone, right?
I do them over the phone. On occasion, I'll do them like in my home where we set up an appointment. They'll come over.
Uh-huh.
And I do group sessions too.
And would you like travel to do group sessions?
I do, yes.
Oh, okay.
In fact, I've gone down to Miami, Tampa, places
okay.
like that.
All right. Well, we have another caller, but just really quick, I just want to mention, let everyone know that you do private readings, and they can get that information on your website, which is chuckbergman.com, and your telephone number's there, and, of course, your prices and things. And you can get all that information on the Visible by Numbers right on the front of BBS Radio.
That's
we have that right in our
name,
show
by
info.
The way.
Yeah. All right, well, we have another caller. Who's calling, please? Hello?
Hi.
Hi, who's calling?
This is Jim from Massachusetts.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Very well, and I'm assuming you would like to speak to Chuck, so I'll...
I certainly would. Hello, Chuck.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
I'm fine. And I think you remember me, Chuck, because you were the absolute best, and nobody ever gave me readings as accurate as you.
You know, I'm starting to pick up on your voice. Were you down here in Florida at one point, Jim?
Nope. I met you at the Swampscott Church. I went to your house one night with Dale for a reading, and you were absolutely the best I've ever come across.
Oh,
and
thank you very much. I do know you've got a lot in common with Allison. You have a radio show once a week, don't you?
I certainly do. 27 years
now. I'm remembering you.
Yes.
And thank you for the compliment, Jim.
We miss you up here, Chuck, I'll tell you.
Yeah, Jim was in some of the development classes that I was in with the Spiritualist Church in Swampscott, Massachusetts.
Uh-huh.
And he can tell you, I started off very green. I was very nervous, and I couldn't get in front of a group without trembling all over and stuttering.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And after a while, I just said, I got to trust Spirit and let them move me along.
Right. Well, I think
he did such a wonderful job at it. It was incredible.
Well, he is pretty incredible, I have to say.
There was some wonder. I enjoyed the people up there. I really miss them. I still say that my development years were the best part of all this.
Right.
I enjoy what I'm doing now, but it was just so exciting to go home and say, guess what I did tonight? You know, it was fun.
Oh, yeah.
And the support from Dale and people like yourself, Jim, it was overwhelming how good you felt about what you were doing. And
you know, I was talking to Dale last week, and she was telling me about a reading from some guy she had, and I thought, well, if I wanted a reading, I said, I would rather call Chuck. I said, it's been a long time, and I'd love to get Chuck's input on everything.
The funny thing is, I need help from the spirit world, and I'm on my own. I have to I have to pick out everything. You know, if I'm buying a car, I got to pick it out myself,
no matter what
I'm doing.
That's the truth, isn't it? You might be a light worker, and you might be able to read people right, left, and sideways, but when it comes to yourself, you feel like you're in a paper bag.
I know, it is. Jim, I'm already getting something for you. I don't know if you were calling in just to say hello, which I'm glad you are, but I am getting unfinished wood around. Whoa, I think I know where that's going. Can you take that statement, unfinished wood, and I'm seeing a piece of unfinished wood.
Unfinished what?
Wood, W-O-O-D.
Wood?
Wood. Like a one-by-one or a two-by-two long piece of wood that's unfinished.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You can take that?
Yeah, I can take that. It's right here in my music room.
It's right there in his music room. All right, I'll take it then.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was trying to figure out a way today to stretch a piece of wood from one thing to another to hold some blank CDs for me.
Okay, Allison, that's his reading. Hang up on it.
Okay, bye.
Yeah,
I don't know
who that's from, but I know I was seeing that piece of wood.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, even though I'm talking to Jim now, he and I have not connected for over probably five years.
That's right.
And I've never been to his home or his studio there to see the piece of wood.
Right.
No,
well,
that's
I
right.
believe you.
That's right.
Just if anyone else is listening and thinking, well, you know, I've got an unfair advantage going on here, but believe me, I'm equally like saying, why am I getting that for a piece?
No, I've been dying to talk to you for so long, and I, when I found out you were going to be on this show, I thought, well, I was listening, and I thought, well, I'm going to call in and see what I can get from you.
Good. I had my secretary, Linda, pass out some emails today, and I told her to look up some of the oldies and let them know about the
show. Oh, that's great. It's good to hear from old friends.
Oh, absolutely.
It is great. Let's see if I can get any more.
Can you tell me, basically, health and job is what I'm more concerned with. Anything on that?
Jimmy, sometimes we get to give good news, sometimes it's not so good news. Financially, I'm getting a symbol for a little less money than you've had before, so I feel like money's coming in less than it was before. And
yep.
I hate to say it this way, but it's going to go on for 4 to 5 more years. It's going to keep carry on at this level. But then I do see a platform where it starts climbing again.
Yeah.
Has it actually dropped for you?
It has a little bit, yeah.
Okay, and that's what I'm seeing is a drop, but then I see it steady at the pace that you're at right now, but then I do see it picking up. And let me just think. I got to block out any thoughts I would have about you or anything I would already know, so that takes me a moment just to get around that. I'm seeing new living quarters within 2 years, new living quarters. I almost feel like an apartment, and for some reason you're going to have very high ceilings.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why you're going to want high ceilings in it, but I'm hearing that word with it.
Okay.
The words I'm hearing is within 2 years you will be where you've been wanting to be.
Ah.
Okay.
And so you must know all the rest of the stuff that would follow with that.
Good news.
We are trying to move people along.
Absolutely, yeah.
Unfortunately limited, but I can't tell you. It's so nice to hear from you, Jim.
Oh, Chuck, it was so good to talk to you, too, and I don't want to hog the phone and tie up anybody else because I want them to get the chances that I've had with you in the past. So.
Well, thanks for calling in, Jim.
Well, thank you, too. I really appreciate it.
All right.
And I love the show from what I've heard tonight, so keep up the good work.
Well, you have to find out what your radio show is.
Well, I'm on Brockton. I do an Irish radio program in Massachusetts.
Oh, wonderful.
I've been doing it for 27 years now, and it's on WXBR 1460 on Sundays. And
go,
we have
Jim.
A ball.
Go, Jim. Put that plug in there. Good job.
Okay.
Very good.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Jim. Thanks
okay,
for calling
thank
in.
Thank you, and thanks, Chuck.
Okay, have a good evening.
You
guess
too.
The real message was the piece of wood, if that's the real message. But
well, it's a validation.
You know it is, and sometimes I get it that way from other mediums that give me readings. It's that one piece of information that I can...
Right.
You can shake your head all day long. How would he know about that?
Well, you know, when I do the numerology readings, I'm doing an interpretation of the numbers. And, you know, and that's pretty scientific. You can't stretch those meanings. They are what they are.
Mm-hmm.
But I will get these descriptions. I'll see pictures, or I'll describe something in such a way that's very, very, it's a picture that's very related to that particular client. It actually means something to that client, the way that I phrase something. And so I always find that fascinating because I always ask for validation with the numerology readings that what I'm getting, you know, comes from a higher source, and I always get these really weird things. Like I actually one time sat there and I said, well, you know, I was describing a number and I was saying to the woman, you have to be very careful when you take medication because you may have the opposite effect, you know, whereas it may be in a medication that's supposed to put you to sleep, but it makes you hyper instead. And I actually gave, I can't remember what the name of the medicine was, but I actually used the name of a medicine as an example.
Mm-hmm.
She says, oh my God, when I take that, I can't sleep. And, you know, it was just so weird the way I knew, you know, I came out with this silly thing that had to do with the number and then came through with the actual name of the medicine she had the problem with, so.
Yeah, see, I think with what some of what you're doing, you're being distracted thinking about the numbers and what they represent and all that, and it's during that distraction time that Spirit can kind of give you the little information that they're trying to give you.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, the energy that comes in with readings, people's, I always like to think of it as being their cheerleader squad from the other side. Because I really actually feel energy come through me when I do readings. I can actually physically feel it, which is, you know, I don't think traditionally numerologists, you know, can feel that, but I know I do. Sometimes it knocks me out of my chair. Do you get that when you feel spirit around you? Do you feel that?
I get very happy, very excited, very...
Yeah, the love comes through, the love.
Yeah, but one word of caution, if Kay is still listening, she was the one that called earlier about trying to help the police, that on the type of case that she's working with now, it's very important to ask for protection before doing that type of a reading and to close down because you really don't want to carry that stress or grief with you from this young man's, if he is on the other side. You don't want to carry that around with you.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't doing that in the beginning, and I almost gave up doing readings because I started carrying around all the sadness and
loss. And what is your recommendation? Just you know, we've got about 3 minutes left on the show, and might be really good to give that advice. I mean, how do you close down? How do you do that?
There are times when I leave my office and I go in the room and my lovely wife and son are home from school, and what I'll do is go in and it's just like when I close my door, I'm closing everything I've done into the room.
Oh, okay.
Even to the point where she can tell you it's rare. It might be like maybe once a week where I may say, hey, you won't believe this validation, and I'll give her the one.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to tell her, you know, everything I've talked to the people about or all the validations I've had.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my agreement with my spirit guides is simply that when I'm working, I'm working. When I'm off, I want to be me. I want to be Chuck. I want to enjoy life.
Right.
And I feel like I'm enjoying life a heck of a lot more than I used to.
Right. Speaking of this beautiful wife of yours, and I have to assume that you met this young lady after you were a medium. So I just want to know, how did that first date go? I mean, how did you swing in there that you were a medium? How do you tell that to somebody?
Well, actually, we met at a meditation class, and the two of us were listening to one person give some rather fantasy-type information out about, you know, things that she had witnessed. I think you know where this is going.
Okay, well, we got to go.
We would leave, and then, you could tell it was contrived. It wasn't true stuff coming from the spirit world.
Right, right.
But she was so insistent that it was, and I guess later we'd go out and have coffee together and kind of laugh about it.
Right. So she was already into it.
We both had a very serious approach to mediumship and stuff.
Okay.
And she's a science teacher and cannot really understand how I do what I do.
Sure. Oh, yeah, scientific mind, sure.
Listen,
Chuck, you know, I don't know about you, but an hour sure does fly when you're having fun, right?
Oh, I knew it would be quick.
Yeah, and we've only got 1 minute left on the show. So really, everyone, I want to just again mention Chuck's website, which is chuckbergman.com, chuckbergman.com. And you can get the information to contact him if you would like to get a reading. Certainly you can get that information there and read all about him. He's got some testimonials. There's some newspaper articles. Chuck, do you have any upcoming appearances or anything you need to mention?
At the moment, no. I've pretty well completed all my obligations, but
okay.
It's a cycle. It'll start up again.
Well, you will send me a personal email, won't you, when
Absolutely.
You're heading
and
back
if you
up
get
to
that
Pennsylvania?
Way, we're at least going to have lunch together one day.
All right, that sounds great. All right, everybody.
Great.
I'm sorry to say it's come to time to go. Chuck, thank you so much.
I've enjoyed it.
I really enjoy having you. You're delightful. You're wonderful. And, gosh, you did some really great readings. So I'm sure that there's a lot of skeptics out there going, wow. So thank you for being with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And everybody, thank you for joining us, and everybody that called in, love to hear from you, and so thanks for taking the time to call in, and I'll be back again next week. Good night, everyone.
Thank you for joining us this evening. For more information, or if you wish to contact Allison for a reading, please visit www.visiblebynumbers.com or email Allison at alynch@ptd.net. Have a wonderful evening and be well.
StreamGuys. StreamGuys is a leading provider of quality streaming media services. Whether you're an independent broadcaster or a large corporation, StreamGuys is your best choice for managed live or on-demand video or audio streaming, dedicated server products, turnkey subscription services, podcasting, and much, much more. StreamGuys. Affordable.